This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Election Day is all about citizen involvement and citizen empowerment. It's also the goal of a new company called Citizenvestor. It encourages people to come up with ideas to improve their city or neighborhood and then raise the money to fund those ideas.
Want to renovate your neighborhood park or maybe set up a kayak sharing program on the Charles? If your city doesn't have the budget to fund those projects, Citizenvestor offers you the opportunity to crowdfund the idea.
A handful of cities are already working with Citizenvestor, including Boston, and we'll hear about that project in a moment. Jordan Rayner is one of the co-founders of Citizenvestor, which launched just a few weeks ago, and he joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So also joining us is Deb Socha. She's the director of Tech Goes Home, a City of Boston project trying to ensure that all residents have access to 21st century technology and which is partnering with Citizenvestor. Welcome to you, Deb Socha. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And Jordan, let me start with you. How does this work? And let's start right away with a concrete example. I'm thinking of a wide city boulevard not far from where I live in Somerville that I'd like to see lined with trees. My idea, how can Citizenvestor help me get it done?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you'd go to citizenvestor.com. You would start what we call a petition, a citizen-initiated petition. You raise enough petition signatures. Then we take that idea to City Hall and ask them how much it's going to cost and turn it into a project on our site that raises real dollars and raises money. And then once 100% of that money is raised, everyone's credit cards gets charged at once and the project happens. The beauty of our model is no one's credit card gets charged unless the project reach 100% of their goal. So there's no risk to citizens for investing in these projects and there's no risk to government because they don't have to actually build the project unless they get the necessary funds.
And of course, anybody can invest and you can pretty much invest any amount, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, and what's in it for the investors?
Yeah, what's in it for the investors is investing in their community, right? We don't offer rewards or anything like that like other crowdfunding platforms do like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. We believe in the micro philanthropist. This idea that with $5 or $10 or $25, any Bostonian could be a modern day Carnegie or Rockefeller. Investing in their communities and doing things, building things that are big and public and tangible.
So how do you make money as a citizen investor?
Yeah, good question. So we take 5% of all successfully funded projects. Mm-hmm. So the government project is increased by 5% as we pose it to citizens. And we only make that money if the projects are successfully funded.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that crowdfunding, it's sort mm-hmm. of a burgeoning industry, successful startups like Kickstarter and Indiegogo. How is Citizenvestor different to other crowdfunding
yeah.
businesses?
That's a great question. So I think one of the best critiques of some of these other platforms is they're really becoming just another form of online shopping. People are going to Kickstarter to buy the latest gadget mm-hmm. and the latest technology that they want through Kickstarter's rewards. We're looking at a different person. We're trying to reach, like I said, the micro philanthropists, people who want to invest and give back to their communities. Secondarily, you know, the Kickstarter and Indiegogo, you can go on there and easily raise literally tens of millions of dollars for a project, but there's zero accountability. You can do whatever you want with that money. Because these projects are coming from local government entities, they're inherently more accountable, we believe, because if the city decided to do something else with that money or went over budget on a particular project, you know, all hell will break loose amongst the citizens who gave out of their own pockets above and beyond taxes to see that project come to life.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. We're going to expand this conversation. What do you think about this? Does Citizenvestor sound like a new and interesting model to pay for the things that government can't afford? If so, how would you use it to improve your community, your neighborhood? And is there possibly a downside here? And Jordan, I'm going to ask you about this in a bit. If we can use crowdfunding to pay for public projects, does that mean the responsibility for public works projects, does it take it away from local government? So give us a call. Let us know what you think. 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Deb Socha, let me bring you into this conversation. Why did Boston City Hall agree to partner with Citizenvestor? How's that process working out?
Well, it's interesting. Mayor Menino has been a great supporter of the opportunity to provide all citizens with digital access. And he's been a great supporter of Tech Goes Home, the project, which provides training, technology, and low-cost internet access to underserved populations. And so we thought this was an opportunity for us to pilot a Citizenvestor crowdfunding opportunity. See how this goes. See how it works. And the pilot is to support students who are blind with really much more expensive equipment to run a program. So this is kind of a nice way for us to give this a try. It's a good pilot. It meets a need in the city. The mayor is so positive about supporting citizens' equal access. So it's sort of a win-win for everybody.
So tell us about where this project goes if it takes off. What's the big sort of hope for this project?
So the big goal would be for us to raise enough funds to provide the hardware, which involves iPads and a Bluetooth keyboard and other technology apps for the iPad, and training for a parent and child together in a team at a school with a teacher trainer, multiple teachers, because it takes more than one, showing them how the iPad can be used to do all the things that you and I take for granted. So an example of that would be the iPad has an app you can download that will take a picture of a bill in your hand and tell you if it's a dollar or if it's a 20. Not something we'd necessarily imagine as an issue, but is certainly for our children. And the other piece that goes beyond just the sort of life skills that it also supports children's social opportunities. So if you can imagine being 14 and not having Facebook, this is a way for us to allow children, and this the technology goes home with the children, they own it. It allows them to be part of that social scene in addition to using the technology for academic purpose.
And so CitizenVestor could potentially help you guys fund this project. Is this the kind of project that there just might not be money, extra money lying around to spend on a project like this?
There really isn't. The cost of this particular project, we've supported 7,100 people in the last 2 years with Tech Goes Home, but the cost of this project is in excess of a typical class because the technology is just more expensive and we need more support from teachers and trainers. So it's very difficult for us to get funding that would support something this large.
So that's what's happening in Boston, Jordan Rayner. What else are you doing around the country? Talk about some of the other partnerships that you have with some other cities.
Yep. So we've been launched for – CitizenVestor's been launched for about 6 weeks now. We launched first in the city of Philadelphia with a tree planting initiative in Philly. Tech Goes Home. This is our first project providing technology for blind students in Boston. It's our first project that's raising money in the city of Boston. But we actually have a number of petitions posted throughout the country, right? These are citizen-initiated. A great success story. This was in St. Petersburg, Florida. There was a group of about 150 bicyclists who came together to petition for bike pumps and fix stations along a busy bike path. So 24 hours after reaching their target number of signature goals, we had a meeting set up with the citizen who started the petition and a member of the St. Petersburg City Council. And now they're actively looking for a way to either find money in St. Petersburg's existing budget or post as a project to CitizenVestor that raises the $5,000 or so dollars needed to bring the project to life.
Let me introduce another voice in this conversation. Eric Von Hippel is a professor of innovation at MIT Sloan School of Management. He joins us on the line now. And Professor Von Hippel, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Well, you've been listening to this conversation. I know you've looked at a lot about how the sort of the crowdfunding industry has exploded. And when we think about crowdfunding, we think of companies like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, but these help people raise money for private investment startups. This new wrinkle is using this model for public investment. What do you think? Good idea? Does it have a future? I'd love to know what you think.
I think it's very interesting. And I mean, there are really two streams going on here of work. One is, as Deb says and as Jordan says, is that, you know, people go out and they try stuff.
Mm.
And they see if it works. And at the same time, there's an academic stream going on saying, well, how do you get people to participate in this in a way that's beneficial all around? So, when Jordan talks about, well, you know, we don't do prizes and stuff like that. We're after a microphilanthropist. The question is, you know, is there a microphilanthropist? And maybe you can give people rewards that are more like sort of pleasure and game and so on by proper site design, so that there always has to be a quid pro quo in these things. And what we and others, a student of mine, for example, named Benjamin Mako Hill, are exploring is, well, how the heck actually do you have successes? What are the principles? So the kinds of pilots that Deb is talking about and Jordan's talking about really should be informed by the kind of academic research on how it works, as well as vice versa.
Interesting. Do you see it as well as a route towards sort of more robust civic engagement? I mean, is this an avenue to sort of build civic engagement?
Yeah, I think it's marvelous. I mean, basically what you're doing is you're getting a lot of intermediaries out of the way. You're creating an opportunity for people to say what they want, and then you're giving them an opportunity to actually sort of fund it on a micro level. So sure, the more you democratize these kinds of opportunities and get them out of a large bureaucracy, the better off you are. It's really fabulous, and it's happening in every field.
Let me ask you the sort of pushback question, all three of you, and I'll start with you, Eric von Hippel. What about the argument that if this model were to take off, we'll be removing or maybe diminishing the need for public funding and perhaps letting our public officials off the hook to be smart about budgets? You know, they can say, well, yeah, of course we should build a new school, but, you know, we're not going to figure out how to pay for it. Let's just go to Citizen Investor to solve the problem.
I see. Well, you know, there are so many problems that I kind of imagine that won't happen. But there will turn out to be a certain kind of challenge that's very suited to it. Like you raised the question of, gee, I want some trees on my street.
Right.
You know, and so what you'll find is you'll find sort of this adds to the set of options. I don't think it'll drive any option out of the loop. No, there's plenty for government to do.
Sure. Do you agree with that, Jordan Rayner?
Yeah, I think I do. You know, I don't think we'll ever get to a place where Citizen Investor or any platform similar to ours will replace taxes or government's role in public works projects. But I think we can help supplement it. You know, if we can make government work just a tad bit more like a vending machine, right, allowing citizens to input their money and select which city services they want. We're not talking critical services like public safety or education or water or sewage, but for the parks and playgrounds and pools, that's a good thing. And we're making the process more democratic.
So, Deb Soja, this isn't the slippery slope toward taking away public financing of these essential services.
I don't think so at all. I actually think there are projects out there that we need a proof of concept for. And the funding is not always in sync with the need for that proof of concept. And so until we can prove this concept makes sense and show that proof through experience, it may not be something that ends up in a budget. But once we can prove that concept works, it then may be.
Interesting, yeah. So it becomes a sort of way of sort of test flight almost.
It feels that way to me.
Yeah, interesting.
But I would add one thing there, which is, for example, you know, it's very subtle what works and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. There were bunches of attempts at Wikipedia before Wikipedia hit. And so really, whether this succeeds or fails, Deb, it doesn't say whether the concept itself is inherently flawed. It says that, you know what, we're learning a new thing here and we have to figure out how to tweak it, and it's quite sensitive.
Right. I agree entirely. I would say I wasn't so much saying the proof of concept of Citizen Investor. I was saying proof of concept of the actual Tech Goes Home program for students.
Ah, okay.
Because I think once we show how beneficial that is, it becomes wrapped up into the expectation for government.
Listeners, you can join the conversation. We're talking to Jordan Rayner. He's the co-founder of Citizen Investor, and we're looking at crowdfunding public works projects. Let us know what you think about this. Let us know your ideas. 800-423-8255. Let's go to Greg, who's calling from Palmer. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a quick question for the founder. As you begin to scale and deal with larger projects, how do you plan on dealing with procurement laws in terms of getting multiple bids using prevailing wages? My quick example is if two neighborhoods are cut by a highway and they want to get together to build a pedestrian bridge, do they decide who gets the contract, or does it go to the mayor's brother?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So the piece of this, we actually are only, as a company, Citizen Investor is really only focused on the petition piece of this and then actually getting the projects funded. As soon as a petition reaches its target number of signatures, it goes to the city and we literally hand it off. And from there, we don't do anything with it until the city comes back and says, hey, we're ready to fund this. At that point, the project, like this Tech Goes Home project, gets on our site to raise money. All of the procurement has already taken place. We have no role in that process, nor, frankly, do we want to.
Might be a question for Deb Socha, though, to take that one on.
In terms of
Greg is just talking about once you scale a project up, how do you get around these public procurement laws, competitive, but the need for competitive bidding, that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, this is our project's a pretty small project. Mm-hmm. My guess is that a lot of the projects in Citizen Investor will be as small mm-hmm. as mine, and we already have gone through that process. To purchase the equipment, we know exactly what it's going to cost. We did all that prior to mm-hmm. submitting the amount to Jordan's company.
And that's the process that we're requiring mm-hmm. moving forward with any of our government partners, because as Greg, as you, I think, have alluded to, that would be quite a nightmare for us as a company to have to wade through those channels, and not what we want to focus on.
Let's go to Gabriel, who's calling. That's Gabrielle, who's calling from Medford. Gabrielle, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to do it. What's on your mind?
So I'm wondering, I know that a lot of good projects that I've been involved somehow always have opposition that may be very valid, but that I would never have imagined. And I'm wondering what Citizen Investor does to guide a proposal through both the red tape and through the valid opposition that it might have.
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a lot of projects, right, that the municipalities choose not to take on, and like you said, the reasonings aren't just simply funding, right? It's not just money. There's political reasons. There's strategic reasons why they don't take these projects on. So ultimately, you know, if your petition is successfully signed on Citizen Investor, we promise very little to citizens. All we promise is that we will make the proper introduction between you and our contacts at City Hall, and they'll take it from there. Then it's really up to the municipality to determine whether or not it's a viable project for the city to crowdfund on our platform. So I can't speak to the specific reasons on specific projects, but I do know, like you said, that it doesn't always come down just to money, right? There are many reasons why municipalities choose not to take on certain projects.
Yeah, Gabrielle, I'm curious to know if you're thinking of a certain project when you raise that question, or a certain kind of project.
Well, I used to live in Jamaica Plain, and we just a few years ago put in bike lanes, which, you know, I was definitely behind as a bike commuter, but one of our local bike shop owners actually was against it, which I never would have imagined. But those are the kinds of things where you end up finding opposition that you maybe never would have imagined. That's
sure.
the kind of thing I was thinking of.
Deb Socha, you're nodding your head in a knowing kind of a way here.
Well, there is always another side to a story. But in providing technology training and low-cost internet access in Boston, we do hear opposition. Why are you giving folks technology? Are they just going to use it to play games? And so I've had to always be ready with that counter narrative about the importance of technology in everybody's life. But I think that's fairly typical for any project that you run. You'll find those folks, and you'll have to be prepared with a counter-narrative.
Eric Von Hippel, I don't want to lose you here. You're on the phone, but let us know what you think about this. Is this the future? And speak to Gabrielle's question as well, just about, proposals that might be controversial and have another side to them.
Well, I think the real thing here is that it's much broader. What's really going on is openness and sort of micro kind of democratized approaches mm-hmm. to everything from where the bus goes and when the bus goes and so on. So it's this huge phenomenon where innovation and services are getting democratized. Mm-hmm. And so I see this Citizen Investor thing as a really nice another piece in it. But the fabulous thing for everybody here is that people are getting more empowered. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the giant underlying message which the internet has made possible, and which really governments are being quite helpful many times in opening up about and creating access for.
I couldn't agree more, Eric. This is Jordan, and I got to give credit to the city of Boston. I think the city of Boston is really a leader in this. The mayor's office of new urban mechanics, Nigel Jacob and Chris Osgood, have done a fantastic job of embracing these new technologies that truly do empower citizens to improve their communities.
Jordan, where let's look out 10 years and let's imagine that Citizen Investor has really taken off. We've been talking about fairly small bore projects, planting trees, renovating a park. No disrespect intended at all to you, Deb Socha. Your project is still small. What's the sort of big dream where this could go, where this could sort of take the development of these kinds of projects?
Yeah, so our dream as a company is really to see us be able to scale up to larger projects long term, but always focus on some smaller projects. But really create a system where the government budgeting process is more participatory than ever before, where citizens are telling government exactly where they want their money spent. This is one of the first times that's ever really been done, where I could see exactly how much of my dollars went to a particular public project. And that's really exciting for us. And to be able to see that grow long term and be able to see citizens rallying together to build bridges and to build parks and to build pools and schools or whatever it might be, that's really exciting. In the Netherlands this past year, you've actually seen citizens crowdfund a bridge, literally a pedestrian bridge that goes over a busy interstate downtown. They're literally buying planks, individual planks along this bridge, and they're doing it. They're going to build this bridge, and that's the future.
And Professor Van Hippel, it's a great idea, a great thought, and a great sort of sentiment to be considering on Election Day of all days, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And on the research side, you know, we all sort of know about firms and how they operate now, but this is an equally large phenomenon, and we're just beginning to understand how it works. And these people like Jordan and Deb, who are making initial probes, are quite courageous, and it'll get to be routine.
That's Eric Van Hippel. He's a professor of innovation at MIT Sloan School of Management. Professor Van Hippel, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We also heard from Deb Socha. She's the director of Tech Goes Home, an offshoot of the city of Boston. Deb Socha, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jordan Rayner, the co-founder of CitizenVestor. Thanks for coming in and talking about this, and good luck to you. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us, listeners. The conversation continues, by the way, at RadioBoston.org. And there's not an app for this, but How One Fitness Movement is crowdsourcing motivation and a serious workout. That's coming up. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.